new government, a new era, a new political age, and that's reflected by the almost instantaneous reaction of the British government in reducing the level of the interest charges on their bilateral loan to Ireland, and the point made by the Chancellor when he spoke as a consequence. Patrick McGill might well have wondered about the accrual and the repayment of moral debt when it came to the First World War, where he fought with the London Irish Rifles. And as it happens, on this very day, in 1927, the Men in Gate Memorial was opened at Ypres, and it was inscribed with the names of the missing. Tonight, and every night, just a short while ago, six French volunteers stood there to play the traditional salute to the fallen warrior. The last post, seeking out the names of the dead and the missing, scattered, as they say, in the brail of war, not alone over the gate itself, but in all the international theatres of war, in the hearts of the families that these men would never know. Families who now make pilgrimages to Europe from every part of their world in honour of their dead. And I commend former Deputy Paddy Hart, former Minister of State, for his work in putting the Peace Tower in Messines, which was the first connection between our President, Mary McAleese, and Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, which resulted in that connection being fostered and developed and nurtured to a point where, for the first time in 100 years, a reigning British monarch came to this Republic of Ireland to reflect on experiences of the past and to demonstrate the forging of new platforms for the future. Well done, Paddy Hart. And Patrick McGill collected the songs of the soldiers, noting how his friend and rifleman Bill Teeks said, "These here songs are no good in England. They have too much guts in them. And guts are another kind, of another kind, are what we need now, both as a European country and as a European Union. Because if there is one good reminder why we should work to keep our union, to preserve our peace, to cherish our European community, it is that memorial at Menin, or those at Messines, or Boma, Habe, Hamel, or wherever. Because our European Union has brought us what has been called one of the most sustained eras of peace on our continent. You're living through that. A union all the more remarkably because it came so soon after the possibility that there might be no Europe at all, post-Second World War." I was asked this question by a young man in Leaving Cert in a Dublin school some time ago. He said, "Why should there be a European Union?" And I had come across the story of Harry Patch sometime before. Harry Patch lived to be the oldest member of the infantry of the British Army. And at the Somme, going from one field to another, he came upon a man who had been shot by shrapnel. His insides were on the ground, and the man said, "Shoot me." And Harry Patch described afterwards how he drew his revolver and was with him for the last 90 seconds of his life. And he said he uttered one word, just one word. And he said, "It haunted me for 88 years. He said, "It's the most precious word in the English language, and that word is a mother." And that's the reason why we should have a European Union, never to have young men or young women involved in that kind of activity where it can be humanly prevented. and all the developments that have taken place and all the potential, human, social, political, economic and everything else, is all there because they gave their lives and fought on so many theatres for what they believed in. We have a chance never to allow that to happen again. And for us here in Ireland and in Glenties, we can play our part in that. I don't know whether any of you know what it's like, actually, to be the Prime Minister, the Taoiseach, walk into the room of the 17 leaders, or walk into the room of the 27 leaders, and make your case for your country.